Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
God's doing all right. How many of you were actually here yesterday? Just put your hands up. What a great... You were here, weren't you, Isabel? Yeah, Isabel's here. I'll just check it. Even I was here by the modern wonders of technology. I think. What an awesome day, mate. What an awesome day. I believe that as I was praying for the day yesterday, and obviously up to yesterday, if those of you that don't know, is Isabel had a word over her life which had a timeline to it. This was the best medical prognosis that was available to describe this condition at that time. But God had another view on that. Not only in terms of what that word was, but also Isabel's timeline. How many of you know that God lives outside of time? And then God began to speak to Isabel, and Isabel began to reach out and touch the reality of God beyond the reality of what she was dealing with. All right, it's important that we know that. It's not about denying what's going on. It's about reaching out from within that and grabbing hold of God, who is real. You understand that? If your leg's falling off, your leg's falling off. Don't go around saying, well, by faith, my leg isn't falling off, because you just end up with a soggy end, all right? But God's reality is true, because God's word describes his nature. And yesterday was a tremendous opportunity, not just to celebrate Isabel, but the word of God, to celebrate God's faithfulness and his wonderful mercy, which never ends, his wonderful grace, which is always there, and that it's real. So the testimonies that came out through the day were about real people's lives being touched by the reality of God's life. And it was great. And as we were praying for you, say, up until yesterday, in particular yesterday, I just felt in my heart that also God was doing something not just in this room, but through this room. How many of you know that God is bigger than we think he is? How many of you know that God needs to be bigger than we think he is? Yeah, that was a bit more of a yes at the second one. How many of you know that God just needs to be bigger than we think he needs to be? Yeah, which is why we need to enlarge the place of our tent so that God's fullness can come in. And what I found is that when you make a big tent, he fills it, and then you put a bigger one on it. You get an extension, you get a caravan, you get a mobile home, hallelujah. You get a hotel, and then, but God still wants to fill it. And I think that's amazing, don't you? And yet at the same time, if you've given your life to Jesus this morning, the Bible says that all of his fullness now dwells in you. I don't know about you, but that kind of messes in my head. And the only way that I can work that out is, any of you have seen Doctor Who? So you're like, okay, it's like, own up, it's fine. It was a bit embarrassed, it's like. When you become a Christian, life's like a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside. Okay, that was a total waste of time telling that story. That's the only way I can work it out. Because God doesn't live in time or space. God lives in the past, the present, and the future. He's not like the Christmas past, Christmas present. He's not like that. He's not like Michael Caine having a good day. But Jesus lives across all time. Jesus lives across all space. Jesus lives out of eternity. And yesterday, I believe, was a moment when the eternal reality that Jesus heals today became real in many people's lives for the first time. There are about 50 people here yesterday, I understand. And Jesus has been who he was before they came, but suddenly they realize it's real. It's true. And I love that. So it was a good time yesterday. We were up in Leicester yesterday, as I mentioned a bit earlier, part of how we support and work with some of our partnering churches and leaders. So there's about 55 people there from six different congregations. Brilliant time. Oh, some of these guys have churches of 400 or 100 or 50 or 60, but actually when you're leading something, you actually have a church of one. And as you begin to kind of take some responsibility more and more in your workplace or in your home place or in your marketplace, you'll realize that your church is you and how God influences you. But that's a big church. God is a big God, right? So I believe today is about freedom. It's a kind of a message that I want to bring out in a moment. But just if you've just come into the room today, it's like, what was going on yesterday? God was depositing something in yesterday and from yesterday. I believe people are going to get healed because of what they heard yesterday. I believe some people are going to give their lives to Jesus because of what they heard yesterday. I believe that some people are going to be restored back to a relationship with Jesus because of what they heard yesterday. Can any one person agree with that? Anybody agree with that? But that was yesterday. Today, Jesus wants to do more. So as church, as most of you would know, we have a Bible reading program. Why? Because the best way to find out that God never changes is to read his word. Come on. The best way to find out that God is exactly the same across time and space is to read his word, which never changes, never fails. It's always controversial. What I mean by that is that when we apply the word of God, it should cause controversy within our life. When we hear the word of God, I believe it does two things. First one is it brings tremendous release into do what God wants. But also it brings tremendous restriction to not do what God doesn't want us to do. Does anybody have the faintest idea what I'm talking about? So I believe the word of God is an eternal compass for how my behavior and how my words are. And as we kind of been journeying through November, we've been looking at some of the Psalms. Some of these Psalms, particularly in the first few days of November, have got all kinds of things going on in them. Some of them are like great and it's like, oh, really? Some of it's like, wow, whatever. It's very up and down, the Psalms at the moment. So I've read some of those, but I've let God speak to me out of John. Is that okay? And we're just going to have a little journey through some of these chapters of John, just some thoughts and comments, because I want us to get to John 20. And then when we do that, God wants to move again. I believe he's moving right now. I believe even as I speak, by the grace of God, God is going to use those words to continue to speak into our now. The great thing about Jesus is although his word is eternal, he wants us to apply it right now. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is. Not yesterday faith was or tomorrow it needs to be, but now faith is. And as we just have a little journey, starting at John 14, the first thing I found on this, and I've read John 14 loads of times, is that I realized that Jesus, who was telling a story, he was having some precious time with his closest followers, and he was about to unpack some very, very powerful words and realities of God, but he had to wait until one person left the room, and his name was Judas. We might have heard of Judas. We might have been called a Judas. We might have lived like one. I have no idea. All I know is that Jesus waited until Judas left and then suddenly began to share another level. Now, I don't believe there's any Judases here, all right? But we may have been on the other end of one. People just dropping us in it, telling us stories, saying one thing and doing something else. I have no idea. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're still in the room. Yeah, we're still in the room with Jesus. John 14. In here, Jesus made this statement. Anyone who has faith in him will overcome. Doesn't say that. But what it does say is that if you have faith in Jesus, we begin to enjoy everything that he's done. And how many of you know that Jesus overcame? So if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus today, there are things which we will never overcome that God will enable us to overcome. Equally, he goes on and says, I'm the conqueror of all. So when in John 14 he says, if you have faith in me, we begin to conquer things that were conquering us. We began by the grace of God to deal with stuff that was constantly nagging and trying to undermine us. But Jesus says, if you have faith in me, you'll do the same things as me. I want to put my faith in Jesus today. I want to be more than a conqueror. It's not about the effectiveness of my fighting capacity. It's that I fight through the feelings and through the worries and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. Because when I trust you, I overcome. When I trust you, I move from being on the point of being vanquished to being more than a conqueror. This is all in John 14. I don't know whether that's what's speaking to you. Maybe I'm just having a funny day. But when I put my faith in Jesus, I move from being a defeatist to being a victorious kind of person. I'm glad you came. This is what Jesus meant. Have faith in him. Have faith in me. Jesus has set aside greatness for those who come to him today. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, how can God use someone like me? I do not know. Ask me one that I do know. But what I do know this is that Jesus says in John 14, if you come to me, if you put your faith in me, you will do even greater things than he did. How many of you know that Jesus never lied in his life? And he's not going to start with you. John 15, and this is an interesting one, kind of flows out of the thought that I was sharing about the Word of God. John 15 is about remaining. When God speaks to us, he cleans our life. He makes us whole and well and acceptable in the sight of God. If we remain in that, if we apply who he is and what he says to our life, two things will happen. One, all of the incompatibilities between my life and God's life, God helps me deal with. All of those constant responses, reactions, attitudes, which just not how Jesus would do it, he helps me deal with those. The word says prune. A prune isn't one of those funny little things that you never used to like eating for breakfast, all right? Prune even the unfruitful life, parts of our life, and it's fine. When there's stuff going on, it's like Jesus sort it out. But actually, he even wants to sort out the things that work because he wants them to work better. That's what John 15 is all about to me, is that he wants to bring us into a place of tremendous fruitful potential. How many of you want to be more fruitful in your lives? How many of you want to be more fruitful in kind of your prayer life or your walk with God if you walk with Jesus today? How many of you just want to have a better life? Let's just make it simple. How many of you want to have a better life? Well, Jesus is saying, if you let me, I will prune, I will change, I will adapt, I will apply my word in a real way so that you become not less, but you become more than you were before. Ooh, hallelujah. That's John 15. Jesus, in that journey, and this is interesting how Andy kind of led that bit of the time together, is when we come before God and say, God, this is what you're saying, help me apply it, joy is a result. Jesus goes on in John 15 and says, and let my joy be complete. I don't know about you, but I want to be completely over the top with joy. You might think I'm on one. You haven't seen anything yet. I want you to have a joy-filled tomorrow. I want you to have a tremendously overwhelming joy-filled Tuesday. How is that a reality? Because I let the Word of God lead me into that. I'm not going to let Monday lead me or Tuesday lead me or that issue on Wednesday lead me or that conversation I need. No, Jesus is going to lead me. Is this helpful? Because I'm trying to get a lot into a little bit of time because I know God still wants to move in another way. You've taken your hat off. Oh, the glory of God has come in the room. Hallelujah. Amen. John 16 just reminds me that Jesus tells us what he tells us so that we don't wander about. We don't wander with a wonder. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Jesus wants to be very real. He wants to be more real than you've ever imagined anybody to be. He wants to be more real than you've experienced anybody to be. He doesn't want to become a person of fantasy. He is a person of reality. Jesus is real. And he's really interested in your life. He's really interested in your day. He's really interested in where you're going. And he's really interested in working through you to give you the greatest kind of day you could ever have. That's what, to me, John 16 is about. He doesn't want us to wander about. He doesn't want us to wander off astray, which is why he gives us the Holy Spirit. And as Andrea was reminding us at the beginning, on one sense, we can't reach out and touch Jesus in the physical, but the Holy Spirit presents Jesus as if he really was here physically. Oh, that's powerful. It means that we're not just come to a part of the campus at Worthing. We're not just here sitting on blue chairs, but no, Jesus is in the room. And he gets even more interested in a minute. We'll have a look at that in a minute. And in John 16, it says, encourages me to decide, I'm not going to let other people's words, thoughts, views, patterns, curses, moans and groans guide me. But I'm going to let Jesus guide me. Doesn't mean that I'm going to avoid all those things. It just means that I'm secure through all those things. I'm going to let Jesus guide me. Not whether the sun's out, whether it's raining. Man, it was raining last night, wasn't it? Did you hear it? It was kind of raining so hard, it came down, bounced up 6 feet and came down again. Did you see that? It was amazing. It was called Hurricane Angus. What was funny is one of the church leaders yesterday was called Angus, so we all beat him up. It's like, don't stop it. We didn't really stop it. In John 17, and I love John 17, I've shared some of this with you before, is that John 17 shows me the power of Jesus' ability to use his words. It says, I'm praying for you guys that you're here with me right now. Judas isn't here, but remember he left the best until after he'd left the room, but we haven't left the room. And he didn't say to Jesus, to Judas, I'm going to pray for you. He said it to everybody else. But what he said to me is, I'm going to pray for people who are going to come to faith through you. That is me. So Jesus was praying for the people that were with him, and he was praying for the people that would be with him through the people that were with him. Well, that's you and that's me. I've no idea why you're here this morning. You might come for 1,000 different reasons. All I know is that today Jesus is praying for you. And we might think, oh, well, so what? Well, the so what is because Jesus always has his prayers answered. Jesus is always heard by his Father. Jesus always prays the right thing. Jesus always has a breakthrough when he prays. I'm really pleased Jesus is praying for me. You might think, well, actually, I don't care. Well, even the care will be affected because Jesus is praying for you. I don't even believe in God. You might not believe in God. You might believe in Mickey Mouse. I really don't care. Jesus is praying for Mickey Mouse. Hallelujah. Jesus is praying, and every time Jesus prays, something happens. He prays for us today for our unity and our faith, that the glory of God will be seen in our lives. Jesus today is praying that the glory of God, his goodness, all of the best attributes that you could ever imagine God is, he wants to show them off through you. Tumbleweed. All of the best goodness, all the mercy, all of the grace, all of the divine nature, all of the divine ability, God wants to show all of himself off through you and me. Wisdom, knowledge, self-control, patience, kindness, joy. Everything that God is, everything that God can do, he wants to show all of himself off through you and through me. I think that's almost worth a woo-hoo. Do we have anybody here that believes in Jesus? Okay, I'm just checking, all right? But two things, really. One, is there, and B, do you respond when you're challenged with a question? Jesus 17, the devil nil, John 17, see what I did then? John 17 goes on and says this, that the glory of God is revealed more and more in our lives so that the world encounters the love which we've encountered. That's all in John 17. The world will know you because... They won't know you because of how we've loved or been loved. They'll know us because of how we are loved by God and how we love others in the same way. There's a powerful dynamic there of how you and I can touch the world is by how we love others in the same way that God loved us. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be kind of gobby or quiet. You just need to let God use you to speak to others through your journey with him. A bit like yesterday would have been probably. All kinds of conversations from the front. All kinds of chat from the side. Which one's more important? The God-inhabited bit. The bit that God's in. John 18, I'm just mindful of the time. God still wants to move. It's in John 18. This is interesting. What it shows me is when the world squeezes me, what comes out? I hope so. I hope it is. I hope it's all of him and not much of me. But let's not run away from the times when it feels like the world's squeezing us, but let's be honest about what's coming out. And let God deal with it. Because when the world squeezes us, we do want Jesus to come out. Not worry, fear, reactionary stuff. We're protecting ourselves. We're protecting our view. We're protecting... No. When the world squeezes me, I just want Jesus to come out. And that's a journey for me. It's a journey for you too, probably. It's like toothpaste. When a word's come out, you can't put it back. Have you ever tried putting toothpaste back in? Just see, let's look at your hands. Okay, yeah, Stuart has. He's doing it all the time. Stuart, he's got toothpaste. I don't need it. Boom, ram it back in there. John 18 also says this, that Jesus swaps my prison sentence for his freedom sentence. There's an exchange. Jesus swaps. I keep getting John and Jesus mixed up. Is that Jesus takes my prison sentence and swaps it for his freedom sentence. That's what he's doing today. John 19 says this, Jesus went across every time, every generation. He went across every issue, everything that divides, everything that can separate you from God. He went across it. He dealt a death blow, literally, to isolation, loneliness, an unquenched thirst, unforgiveness, separation, wrongdoing. Jesus dealt a death blow to all of those. Sickness, disease, depression, oppression. Jesus dealt a death blow to all of those in John 19. There's about a year's messages just in that. I want to get to John 20. John 20, which is may even appear behind me if Ben's kept up. You keep it up, Ben. Ben is on here for the first time, so I'm giving him a really easy morning. His hair was brown when he turned up. Look, he's looking at me. Are you looking at me for help? Or hope. Okay. John 20 verse 19 says this. On the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said. Isn't that interesting? Judas wasn't there. He'd left the room. But these guys came in the room, but it was locked for all the wrong reasons. Even in the middle of a locked room, because of fear, worry, what if, they're going to know who I am, they're going to know what I did. Even in the middle of a locked room, Jesus walked straight into it. Check that out. Even into a room which is barred, gated, Jesus walked straight in the middle of it. And the first thing he does is speak. Doesn't come and give him a cuddle. Because all that will do is set us free in our emotional life. He doesn't come up and say, doing a good job. Because sometimes that just resonates with our self-life. He comes into the room and he says, peace, well-being, health and wholeness be with you. I believe that's what Jesus wants to do right now. He doesn't want to come up and give you some holy cuddle so you feel better. He cuddled the cross so I'd feel better. He doesn't want to come and give you some so that in some level you just feel loved. He kissed the cross so that I didn't have to. He comes right into the room, whatever room is in my life, whatever room is in my heart, however it's been ended up locked. It might be fear, worry, the what if. What if they knew what I was really like? Jesus knows what I'm really like. What if they knew about me, what I know about me? Jesus does, and he walks straight into that room and says, peace be with you. Well-being, wholeness. That's what Jesus wants us to do in the next few moments. After he said this, he showed them his hands on his side. We haven't got time to go into all this, but there's significance here. To remind them that he died and rose again. But he's the same, if you know what I mean. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21 says this. Well done, Ben, for keeping up. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he did what? He sneezed on them. He breathed on them. Why? Because he wants you and I to be, he wants to be closer to us than our breath is. He doesn't just want us to have a sense of peace and well-being. He wants us to have a spirit of peace and well-being. He doesn't just want to give us a happy day. He wants to make us happy. Oh, happy. There's a song there. We're not going to sing it. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone, if you do not, then they're not. And then it goes on, and we'll just comment briefly on this. One disciple was missing in this room experience. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, but not for the same reason. Not for fear. Jesus came and stood among them again. It's amazing. Even when you're locked in your world, it's celebratory, it's upbeat, it's like at the end of last night. It's, well, what did Jesus do? It was amazing. Don't get locked in good when God wants us to go into great. Don't just celebrate, oh, what a great Sunday morning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If Jesus wants to walk straight into that and says, right, now Monday's going to be better. Do you understand that? Our prison can be one that is down and up. But Jesus sets us free. And he says this, same thing. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger in here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. That's a whole nother level. He didn't offer that the first time he met into the room. He just said, peace be with you. Here's the Holy Spirit. But for that one, so that he could come into his own freedom and experience of the reality of God, he said, don't just receive my words. Reach out and put your hand in that mess of blood and water, which we also read about in John 19. He says, reach out. Come on. I think this morning Jesus is displaying not just his glory and his presence, but also the wounds. You touch them. If you're brave enough to say, Jesus, I'm just touching the blood that's on your head, because when I touch that, it sets my mind free in a fresh way. The way I think, the way I think of others, the way I think about myself, headaches, migraines, continuing nightmares. Jesus wants to set you free from those. If you reach out and touch his hands, it's just, I just feel someone clean in my hands. Jesus wants to clean you from that this morning. I know what I've done with my hands. Well, let me tell you, so does Jesus, and he's still saying, touch them. The way that we felt and thought and spoken about people, Jesus says, come into where my heart is and touch it, because I'm going to exchange all of that for all of this. And then our feet, you know, my journey with Jesus has been up and down. And maybe I don't even know Jesus. Maybe I'm just walking through the world doing the best I can. Jesus says, touch my feet and I'll change how you walk forever. Let's all stand up, shall we? I have no idea what God has been saying to you. As I've just been talking, God has been saying a couple of things to me. All I know is that Jesus is here. He's always been here. But he's just reinforcing this invitation for all of us. Touch him this morning. Reach out with your heart, reach out with your mouth, reach out with your hands, but touch him this morning. Maybe you're carrying pain around the head. You know, some of these things I've described, maybe other things. It doesn't matter if I haven't said them. What matters is that Jesus has sorted it. Then let him touch it. There's reasons why there are four man-made things in heaven. And they're all of the wounds of Jesus that you and I put there. It's the only man-made things that are in heaven. It's so that every day I can reach out and touch them. Jesus, I touch your head. Thank you for the blood. Touch your hands. Thank you for the blood. Touch your side. Thank you for the blood. Touch your feet. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your peace. Jesus wants you and me to have a life which is full of peace and well-being. He doesn't just want us to say, peace be with you. That's great. It's powerful. But he wants us to be peacemakers. Whatever crisis you're in, turmoil, whether it's in a relationship or a friendship, Jesus, his peace is going to dominate that if we let it. Father, I just thank you right now for what you're doing over the room. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Breaking every chain. As I was praying with some other guys from the church on the Tuesday, and I had this vision as clear as day, as clear as I can see you, which is blood corroded steel. Blood corrodes iron. Blood corrodes emotional ties. Anything that you think is a chain, the blood of Jesus corrodes it, dissolves it, and breaks it. In the natural, that's just not possible. But I'm not talking about a natural, I'm talking about a supernatural reality. Jesus' blood sets us free. A few people are getting it. You can clap Jesus if you want to. Just do whatever you want to do right now. Just do whatever you need to do right now. Reach out and touch him. Maybe with your praise, maybe with your thanksgiving, maybe with your... It doesn't matter. Just reach out and touch him somehow. He's here. He's saying, come on then. Peace be with you. Receive my Holy Spirit. Breathe in a different way. Live in a different way. But if that's not enough, just come and touch me. Touch my head. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. Touch my side. Touch my back. If you need healing, touch the back. By his stripes, you are healed today. By his stripes, you are free today, the Bible says. You are free, every disease, every sickness. His blood has broken the power of those things. It's diminished it. It's given it a death penalty. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the room this morning. But Father, I thank you from what you're going to be doing tomorrow. That you want to change the way we live and move and have our being. You want to change the way that we just are pruned by you and produce fruit for you. The way that we demonstrate your glory and your goodness. I thank you that you want us to be abundantly fruitful in the world. I thank you that you want us to do great to greater to greatest. So that you're seen, Jesus. So that you're seen. How many of you want to live like that? Just lift up your hands if you can. Just receive the Holy Spirit afresh. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to all who ask. All I can do is ask for me. You just ask. Holy Spirit, just come upon me afresh. I thank you that you want to come upon me with fresh peace, with a greater sense of your joy, with a greater expression of power. I thank you, Holy Spirit, right now that you want to come upon me to reveal Jesus to me afresh so that I can see him in a new way. I thank you that you want to come right into the room of my life and say, peace be still, peace be well, peace be free. And I let you do that. Holy Spirit, do that. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you do that. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we're going to pray for Larry. Larry, come with me. Larry, you're going to have to walk a minute because I'm not stood still. I'm just holding hands. Larry's off on a trip soon. When are you going? Okay, Larry's off to a part of the country which he probably wouldn't choose to go unless God had chosen him to go, right? It's not an easy place. But out of what God has been doing and saying, he goes. Now, he's gone with another part of the church, Jamal, who's up in the Horsham congregation. But they're not going because of what they're going to get out of it. Because they already know what they're going to get out of it, all right? they're going because of what God's going to get in them out of it. So just reach out your hands towards Larry. Don't worry that we're holding hands. We're brothers in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not dating or anything like that. It's absolutely fine. Father, I want to thank you for this divine opportunity to go in the power of the Holy Spirit into this land with the truth of who you are and the reality of what you can do. I thank you for traveling mercies and grace for Larry and Jamal and the team. I thank you that you make a way, you give them upgrades, and you just give them more than they've imagined and more than they ask. But Lord, what I pray most of all is when he's with the people, peace will be released. Peace will be released. Peace will be released. We thank you that in every teaching session, every class setting, every conversation setting, let your peace rule and let it reign and let it dominate the people's lives. We come against every spirit of conflict and destruction, every spirit of death. We break your place. Right now, we loose the spirit of life and of hope and of joy. We thank you for Jamal and anoint him and anoint Larry and the team. Let them see powerful things in the Holy Spirit for your glory and for your honor. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's just celebrate God's goodness and his faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.